pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before I start, Bob, I almost didn't recognize you.
Yeah, we're all here.
It's nice to come back. Nice to see you.
Good morning, Des Moines County Board of Supervisors. September 29th, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
We have an agenda. Department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. My usual spiel here. We're up to 7,748 absentee ballot requests. We are working very hard to get all of those ballots prepared and ready to be mailed next Monday, which is also the first day that people can absentee vote at the counter if you haven't requested one to be mailed. I want to thank Bob for his article that was in the paper that explained a lot of things, but just one little spiel at the very beginning, because I had somebody
here
call.
Here it comes.
I had one person call, and they were concerned about that very first sentence that says, in these days of COVID-19 confusion, going to the neighborhood precinct poll to vote for your chosen candidates will be compromised, and many voters are choosing to vote by absentee ballot. She felt that this might make people think that going to the polls, that their ballot would be compromised. But I think what you're basically trying to say is if you feel you might be compromised by COVID or the inability to get to the polls to vote absentee. I'm putting words into Bob's mouth, so I'm hoping that's what he was intending to come across. So,
good luck, you might get bit.
Did you have to do that right in front of my colleagues?
That was just a concerned voter that called and was concerned about that one little statement that didn't want people to think that their ballots are being compromised at the polls. They're
did
safe
he,
at the polls.
Did he spell your name right?
Yes, he did.
That's the main thing when it comes to politicians and newspapers.
Okay, and now to move on, I still have other stuff. I'm going to rattle on here some more. Just remind everybody that starting next Monday through the month of October, the auditor's office is going to be open till 6 p.m. every night. Hopefully we can get those that don't get off work till 4:30, 5 o'clock or whatever, at least give them till 6 o'clock to get down here to the courthouse to vote. Come in the handicap door and come up either the stairs or through the elevator up to the second floor to our office to vote. And then also we'll be open those two Saturdays before the election. We'll be open from one day 8 to 5 and the other one 9 to 5, but I'm sure we'll probably be here at 8 o'clock that other one too for any absentee voting for that. And then we're also going to be moving two of our precincts. One of them called and they were not going to be able to let us use the facility, or there was concerns. So precinct 2, which is normally at Autumn Heights, we are going to move it just right across the street to the other Des Moines County offices where Ken's located, and it's actually the Optime Life Services, their drop-in center, and they are allowing us to use that building, suite 101. So it's 910 Cottonwood, suite 101.
1001, yeah.
1001. And it's a nice long narrow room, and maintenance is going to move furniture around and reorganize it the night before, so that it'll be one way in and then there'll be an exit door at the other end whenever they leave. So one way in and one way out if everybody obeys the signs. And then we're also looking at moving Precinct FM, which is at the conservation office, since Chris is having all of his office personnel move back in there. That's going to make it a little bit crowded, and it's kind of crowded anyway. And so I have contacted two places, but I'm talking to the city of Middletown and might possibly be moving it temporarily to Middletown City Hall. So those are the two possible changes that we're looking at. And I'll post that on our website and I'll send it to the papers and everything else when that is officially decided, so.
How many people normally vote in the presidential election?
About 70% of the registered voters. It's been anywhere from 71 to 69%, so I'd say an average of 70% in the last few general elections for the presidential. It was 71-something back in 2008, and I think 69 4 years ago, so.
There's 27,000?
We have, if you include inactives, which we usually do because they're listed as inactive if we might have sent them a mailing and it came back as not deliverable or something like that. And a lot of times that's people that register at a new address before they officially start getting mail. And so we always list those in there. So it's over 28,000.
So how long does a person have if he moves like from Danville to New London, change his address and vote in New London instead of voting in Danville?
He can change his address on election day.
Oh.
That's what we call the election day voter registration. As long as they've got a photo ID, and if their photo ID, their driver's license, if they haven't changed that, then they would take like a bill or something like that that shows that they live at that new address to verify. Whenever you move within your precinct, you don't have to verify your address, but when you move outside your precinct into another one, then you definitely have to verify your address.
But you should, if they move in 1st of December, they should vote in the other.
If they aren't moving until December the 1st, yes, they would vote in their current precinct. Because
November,
the election is in November.
All right, I got the wrong date. let's move it back to October 15th. Then they'd be voting, they'd still vote. And they'd vote in a new one.
Yes, they would vote in their new precinct.
You planning on moving, Bob?
I might. If I can get the roads graded, then stay.
So that's all I have.
Welcome back, Bob.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always, nothing new to report.
Thanks, Colin. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Stars Cave is kind of entering the last portion. They'll start up tomorrow in the last, I guess, quadrant is what I'd call it. So that's coming along good. Still got to be careful out there. There's still a one-lane road during the work hours when they're out there working. So we haven't had any issues that I'm aware of. So people are obviously accustomed to it now. Shop site is ongoing, so they're supposed to have a concrete pour today. We are still trying to finish up our pinching, maybe later this week or early next, but that is still going on. And then we're back out ditching on Irish, so still a lot of stuff going on, and just people have been pretty good about just paying attention to the signs and trying to be safe. And so, things are moving.
Thank you.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Jury trials are starting up. I think we're on our third one since the month began today. Still working through that. Other than that, just staying busy, and we do have a personnel action. We finally hired one attorney. Still looking for another one, but Colin will begin on Monday, and we are very much looking forward to having him.
What's his name?
Colin. Don't ask me his last name because I can't pronounce it right.
So. I'll go through it here.
Okay. Yeah.
Personnel actions it'll be.
And Colin spelled strange. So. Okay,
well,
Todd was having difficulties. But.
Thank you, Lisa. Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. I have really nothing new to report at this time.
Thank you. Sergeant Kevin Glendenning, Des Moines County Sheriff's Office.
Nothing major to report from the Sheriff's Office. Jail numbers are holding pretty steady, low 60s, 62 I think. A couple probably to go out in the next week or so. Three are out of county, so we're doing well with our numbers out there.
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks, Kevin.
Good to hear.
Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. Staying very busy with those CARES Act applications. A lot of schools and mental health providers applying for some of those dollars we got from the CARES Act. So other than that, nothing new to report.
Okay. Mrs. Pogomiller, Local Health.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We continue to keep busy with contact tracing. Our numbers have come down. Our rolling 14-day percentage now is at 6.3, and we've had 800 positive cases in the county with 588 recovered. We are doing that drive-through flu clinic. Want to remind everybody on October 14th from 10 to 3. You can also get, we are also doing the walk-in flu clinics and immunization clinics at our offices on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1:30 to 4. So we also give flu shots at that time as well.
When does that start?
The immunizations, yep, they're open anytime. We have the flu vaccine over there, so any Tuesday, Thursday from 1:30 to 4.
Dumb question, and we've talked about this before. Each year they change the flu vaccine to what they are all flu vaccines. I mean, if you go to a Walgreens or a Hy-Vee or where, are all the flu vaccines the same?
They are, except the high dose. So what we get is the quadrivalent, which means it's four different strains of the flu vaccine that you build, get the vaccine against. The quadrivalent, which is a high dose, or I'm sorry, the trivalent, which is the high dose, only has three, but they're at a higher dosages, and that's for seniors, particularly to be able to give them that higher immunity against those three viruses.
Okay.
But otherwise, they are the same.
Okay. Thank you, Krista.
Krista, I got it. If, let's say school kids, let's say if there's a family with three kids in school, and one of them comes home because he's been in contact with somebody that had COVID, what should the other three do? Should they be quarantined also?
So as long as it's just in contact with someone that's positive, then they're not positive. You can only become exposed if you're exposed to someone that's actually positive. And we are anticipating some guidance changes from IDPH as early as this afternoon regarding that as well. But as long as the person that you're in contact with is not positive, you've not been exposed to a positive case.
Okay. Even though he had been exposed to somebody that was positive?
Yes.
Okay.
You can only be exposed if that person has tested positive or is symptomatic. Now, if this is someone that sent home from school because they have a high fever and all the symptoms of COVID, then generally, until they test, we're going to assume they probably have COVID. I mean, a lot of those kids then will go to the doctor to verify that they're negative.
Yeah.
Because it could be something else. There are other things like the flu out there, as well as, you know, strep throats, one that can cause high temps and things such as that, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Krista. We got it.
First one I have on here is Jackie Meyer, Clerk of Court.
Jackie Meyer, Clerk of Court.
Good morning, everyone. Just like Lisa Schaefer had mentioned before, we're starting our third jury trial this week, or today, since the resumption of the jury trials started. So we're very, very busy, but I'm really pleased with the turnout of the public and the jurors, and they have really been receptive to how we're bringing folks in groups of smaller numbers at different times, and so everybody is socially distanced and keeping everyone safe, so very, very busy.
You must be getting better at the jury trials if you're on number three.
Well, you know, we've got the process down pretty pat, so, you know, it's gone really smoothly. I couldn't have asked for a better turnout and a better feedback from the public and from, you know, the attorneys in the courtroom, too. I think they are pleased with how we're doing it now, and so who knows, we may keep that process around even after the restrictions get lifted, but it'll be up to someone higher up than me, though, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Thank you, Jackie. Janelle
Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're keeping a
super busy. Yesterday was really busy in the office, but I expect the next 2 days to be just as busy. Just a reminder that the first half property taxes are due tomorrow, Wednesday, September 30th. You can pay those in the office or the Dropbox up through 4:30 or online through 11:59 tomorrow evening. Thursday, October 1st, interest will start to be added to the first half. So again, first half property payments are due tomorrow, September 30th. But other than that, I have nothing new to report.
Thank you, Janelle. Zach James, land use.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm happy to announce I paid my property taxes already.
The check cleared, Janelle?
Yeah.
Thank you, Zach.
But just got off the phone with a call about a subdivision, which we've had a lot of in the last few weeks. At some point, I'm expecting probably, I don't know the exact amount, because I haven't looked, but I think it's probably somewhere between 5 and 10 subdivisions that we're kind of just waiting on applications for. So we'll probably start seeing quite a few of those, I would think, here in the next month or two. So I've been pretty busy with that, and then just some other general inquiries. Not a whole lot else to report. I guess we did send out some emails, as I mentioned last week, about the draft ordinance updates, getting it out to different staff, and highlighting things for areas that we'd like for them to review. So that process continues to move forward. Otherwise, I don't think I have anything else new to report.
Thanks, Zach.
That's all I have.
Welcome.
Okay. I didn't miss anybody. COVID-19 update, I guess I'll mention we'll have a EOC meeting or Emergency Operations Center meeting at this afternoon, and I see that the school positivity rate popped up a little over the weekend when they added those antigen numbers. I think we got another 11 cases out of that, but then it's back down to 6.3, I believe, this morning, mm-hmm. Didn't you say? Yeah.
It was 6.3. And yes, we are anticipating that. I said that on the website to expect that to jump up a little bit, so.
Correspondence.
I have none.
I had none. Proceed to discussion and vote. Domestic Violence Proclamation. Whereas domestic violence, dating violence, and stalking affects women, children, and men of all racial, cultural, and economic backgrounds, causing long-term physical, psychological, and emotional harm, and whereas 1 in 3 Americans has witnessed an incident of domestic violence, and whereas children who experience domestic violence are at a higher risk for failure in school, mental illness, substance abuse, suicide, and may choose violence as a way to solve problems later in life. And whereas domestic violence in rural communities exists as a hidden, silent, and often unrecognized crime that is often underreported. And whereas through the inspiration, courage, and persistence of victims of domestic violence, their children and advocates, our communities are learning to recognize the impact of violence in the home and within intimate relationships. And whereas the Domestic Violence Intervention Program has worked to end violence in intimate relationships for more than 40 years through the collaborative partnerships of advocates, volunteers, local municipalities, criminal justice, health and human services, faith communities, business leaders, and private citizens. And whereas our community's achievements should be commended, and we must continue our commitment to respect and support victims of domestic violence and to prevent future violence in our community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim the month of October 2020 to be Domestic Violence Awareness Month in Des Moines County, Iowa, and urge all people to work together to eliminate domestic violence, dating violence, and stalking from our community.
Move to approve.
I second that.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broeker?
Yes.
Kevin, wouldn't that be nice if all that domestic violence ended and you wouldn't have to go on them calls?
It would be amazing.
Them have to be a terrible call to go on.
They are.
And, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have someone on here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's part of the problem.
Go ahead.
No problem. I agree. It'd be great if we didn't have to help domestic violence, like if it didn't exist and I didn't have a job. I always joke, I'd have to be put out of a job. I've got other,
ma'am, could
other dreams that we've talked about, dog parks and that sort of thing.
Could you identify yourself for the record?
Yeah, my name is Alta. I'm the Director of Community Engagement for the Domestic Violence Intervention Program.
Thank you.
It's nice to see you all. Thank you so much for allowing me to attend virtually from up here in Johnson County. We appreciate your support. I just wanted to briefly update you all on some of the numbers for the area and talk a little bit about how COVID has affected victim survivors of domestic violence. I will make it brief, as I know you have other things to discuss today. One of the things that we have seen is that our numbers actually stayed pretty consistent with last year at this time, despite the fact that many spaces and ways that victim survivors are able to reach out were closed for a number of months. And so that's pretty indicative of the increase of need for our services. This past year, Des Moines County, we assisted 228 individuals, whereas last year at the same time, we assisted 240. So just under a little, around 10, 12 individuals difference, which is very close. In May, when we saw things begin to open across the state, we did see an increase of hotline calls by 28%, which is a substantial increase as people were able to start moving around. And in the last month, we've received over, at the state, they've received 3,000 phone calls for assistance. So some pretty big numbers, and the support is very needed right now as we see resources such as diapers and gift cards for perishable food items are in high need, in addition to that safety planning that we provide. I did want to mention one other number, if that's all right with you. It's one we're very proud of. 96% of the victim survivors that we've served in the past year reported feeling safer because of the work that they do with us, and that is an incredible achievement on behalf of our advocates, and is pretty substantial when you look at the over 1,800 individuals that we've served this past year. So very proud of the work we're doing and very grateful for the support of Des Moines County residents and the board of supervisors and everyone across Southeastern Iowa.
Thank you, Alda. Thank you for the service you provide. We've got a question.
Would you please state your name again, first and last?
Yeah, my first name is Alta, A-L-T-A, and my last name is Medea Peters, M-E-D-E-A hyphen Peters.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then, Tom, I printed out a calendar that was sent to me, too, that had some dates on there for domestic violence. I included that in there.
Yeah, and as things are moving virtual for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we are asking that y'all help us get that word out to others in your community of ways that they can support. This weekend we have a fort building contest to sort of highlight in a fun way, providing shelter for those most in need and just a way for families to participate where they are and stay safe, as well as a number of other events throughout the month. We also will be doing a gift card drive in Des Moines County to help have additional gift cards to provide victim survivors in need for those perishable food items and gas.
Okay, thank you all. I will run quickly through the you have a Forks for Safety on Saturday and Sunday, October 3rd and 4th. Domestic Violence Proclamations, September, early October, that's what this is. Tuesday, October 20th is virtual trivia night at Andrew's Bar Exam.
Yeah, and that's all virtual. Andrew's Bar Exam is a trivia group based out of North Liberty, Iowa, that provides trivia. It's going to be general trivia, so everyone is welcome to join and start a team, and we'd love to see lots of people participate across our service region.
Okay. And Thursday, October 22nd, is Wear Purple Day. Thank you again, Alda, for being here and for what you do.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us and for taking the time out of your day today. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Yep.
She's talking about the gift card drive, and we know there's a lot of phishing things that you get asking for gift cards. How will we know, Alta? How is your drive going to work? So how will the public know that it's safe
to drop off
gift cards and that they're actually being contacted by you and not a scammer?
That's a great question. We have two options that we're working on. I'm sorry, I should let my dog out of my office. She is prancing around in here. Joy's working from home. So with the gift card drive, we will be announcing it on Facebook. And we have two options. One is that those gift cards get sent directly to our office. So you would purchase them on your own and mail them directly to us. And in all of our advertisements, you'll see our address at our business office. There they get recorded and inventoried, and then our financial controller authorizes them out from there to go directly to victim survivors, like our direct aid packages for housing and that type of thing. The other way is that we actually have a text line, and so that'll be promoted as well in that advertisement and on Facebook, where you actually text us, and then it's a whole process. And it's a company called Give Lively, and they are a national text fundraising company that we use that's certified. So, and the logo, certainly if people wanted to mail them, though, that's going to be the most direct and safest way to know that they're getting straight to us.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Alda. Yeah,
thank you.
We will be sharing that as soon as we have that up. It'll be out on the 1st of October, so.
Okay, we have personnel actions. We have one for the county attorney. We have Colin Koltoff, that's a K-O-L-L-A-N, K-O-L-T-H-O-F-F, Colin Koltoff, assistant county attorney new hire. The salary is $65,000, effective October 5th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
I haven't seen you smile through your mask.
Tim Carey. No, believe me, I'm smiling. Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Roker.
Yes.
Smiling for all of us that are in the office.
We have two personnel actions for local health. The first is Bridget Davis, nurse, unpaid leave, 1.5 hours. And the second is Stephanie Gall, a disease prevention specialist, a new hire, temporary part-time disease prevention specialist at $23.88 an hour, temporary position ending January 31st, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have three for the sheriff's office. We have Colton Atkins, deputy, an 18-month step increase. The previous rate was $51,833.06. The new rate is $54,882.04. We've got three of them.
All right.
We've got Thomas Seitz, a deputy, an 18-month step increase. Previous rate was $51,833.06. The new rate is $54,882.04. And we have a new reserve deputy, John Mercer IV. He will be paid the usual sum of $1 per year.
I wonder our budget's going off.
Yeah.
Is that the one he used to work at the conservation office?
He is. He's a certified peace officer, and we're glad to have him.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Brings a lot to the office, so.
Mighty fine fellow.
Yes, he is.
You going to approve all three of them, Bob?
Yes, I will.
I'll second that then.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
We have the jail statistics for August of 2020. This report will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. We have the minutes for the regular meeting of September 22nd, 2020.
Move and approve.
Second. Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Abstain.
Any other business?
None.
I have the Des Moines County Emergency Medical Services setting up a new Emergency Medical Services Advisory Council, and I told them I would serve on that. They need a county supervisor to be on that, unless either of you gentlemen have a problem with that.
I do not.
I don't have a problem.
Okay.
Very fine choice.
Future agenda items.
At some point, we probably need a work session for the ordinance review. Because I know it needs to be all approved. There have been some recent changes to the criminal code as far as fines and those sorts of things. So we probably need to add a work session so we can discuss how, if and how we want to change some of the things, at least in the criminal ordinances.
Okay. Since you'll have to be here, you might want to work that out with Terry. Your schedule is probably a little less flexible than most are.
Tuesdays are rough. Since that's when we do jury trials, but I will check the schedule and get a date to Terry that I think will work.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Committee reports.
I didn't have anything this week.
My schedule's been a little limited.
I attended the DESCOM meeting in your stead.
Thank you.
It didn't go as well as one might have hoped. We voted on the county's proposal to provide 100% desk funding for DESCOM, and in return that the county got a one vote majority on the control board. And my argument been that, you know, the argument choice been that they said that DESCOM was a county service. And but they would like the county levy to pay the bill, but they like the cities would like to maintain their majority on the control board. So our proposal was voted down. That was the only committee report I had. Other than last week, we had the emergency operations center, and just sort of went over the numbers.
So the whole thing just hanging in limbo then?
No, they're I believe now they're going to go to the emergency management commission and ask if the Emergency Management Commission wants to be the board for DESCOM. That's where it was left, best of my understanding.
So that leaves us one vote against all those commanders, huh?
Well, there would be two, the sheriff and one supervisor, so. Okay. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, we realize attendance is limited, so anybody online is welcome to email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319 753-8203, extension 4. We will wait 2 minutes to give anyone a chance to contact the board if they so wish.
May I make a public comment then?
No.
Thank you. I would go back to Mr. Carter in my rude comment I made to him. I drove my school bus this morning and my roads were all freshly graded and they were just about ready for winter. I've been on when they were freezing up with washboards and everything else, and they just looked pretty good. Nice time to rain.
Yeah, the moisture's going to hang around for the week. That's what we're doing this week, is blading with those guys and maybe doing a little pinching if it dries out enough at the end of the week. So
yeah, they've kept the shoulders clean so that there's not a lot of grass out in the middle of the road, clumps. And I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, it's one of the things we're doing now is cutting shoulders to shape them back up. I've had a few calls in the last week or two, a few emails, stuff like that, and they're not fans of it, but it's part of the process. So it's not going to change. So.
And Fluff got a gold star for a great project at the bus barn.
Oh, did he swing it through there? Okay. I passed it on. I assumed he got there.
What's your minute difference? Wow.
Any other Pope? Bob?
Yes. I'd like to thank the Burlington Police Department for their rapid response when two gentlemen broke into my house last Thursday while I was out of town. I got a call from my predecessor, Leia, say, hey, Bob, you're on the police scanner. And the whole squad showed up. And they haven't caught them yet, but a neighbor has them on a security camera. And they were in my house almost no time at all. And I think they're probably going to catch them. And I'll get back the one piece of jewelry that they took that I'd like to have. And they broke in at noon, which...
At noon?
No idea.
You would think they'd wait till it's dark, I don't know.
That's the best time to break into a house when people are gone at work all day.
I suppose.
People are home when it's dark.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to take down a couple dozen boxes of donuts.
Don't appreciate that.
Don't tell
I was going to say, thank you.
Don't tell
Mike.
Any other, Mike?
Yeah.
And I apologize, just for the record, could you give your name and address, Mike?
Sure. Michael Cecil, 2815 Herb Lowe Drive.
Thank you.
I've been looking after the house in Bob's absence, so I went over there when he told me the police were there. Very efficient, spot on. You know, the whole group showed up. It was absolutely fantastic. And like I said, efficient, asked the right questions, took the right information, photographs, and everything else. They left, the detective stayed around for a little bit, and then he left. So I was impressed.
Thank you. Sure, it's a good thing I don't do drugs anymore.
I think the cities and the county, Des Moines County, are blessed with the excellent law enforcement.
Yes, I think so.
So yeah. Thanks for the, I agree with you, thanks. Any other comments? With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned.